You're listening to The Conk, Gainesville's true storytelling project, a production of Grow Radio, Gainesville's community internet radio station, located at www.growradio.org. The Conk occurs on the first Tuesday of the month at Lightning and Salvage, 1800 Northeast 23rd Avenue. And we thank Satchel's Pizza and Lightning and Salvage for hosting and sponsoring the Conk events. People are asked to tell a 5-minute true story based on the month's theme. The theme for September 1st, 2015 was Roommates and Neighbors. Included in this podcast are stories about preppers in Williston, finding oneself naked among strangers, unexpected roommates, Sal the gardener, roommate quirks, living with multiple roommates, living with a strict vegetarian, and the gifts one can receive from roommates. You can find out about upcoming Conk events on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/theconkgnv. You can also check out older Conk podcasts at www.growradio.org. And now, here are the stories.
Hi, guys. My name is Caitlin, and I am one of Marco's students, if anyone knows Marco. And I'll start off with a fun, lighthearted story. So I grew up in a really small town not too far from here called Williston. Woo! Anyone out there from Williston? Didn't think so. Okay, so I kind of grew up in a farm area where, like, it's, you have enough space where you could walk around without your clothes on and no one would ever see you, which is great when you have weird neighbors. And thankfully, we only had one set of really strange neighbors, but one of those sets thought the world was ending, and they still think the world is ending. So we're going to talk about them. Their name is Bonnie and Lee Tedders. They're related to me, but really distantly. And they really, really believe that the world is ending, so much so that they've been preparing my whole life. So they have their house, but then they also have, like, a house next to their house, like a huge shed that's stocked up with dry foods and stuff like that. They've recently decided that they were going to sell their house to buy a Winnebago so they can drive wherever the catastrophe makes them go. They're also really afraid of, like, home intruders, so they have multiple security systems. They have fake dog alarms in their house, so if you get too close, you can hear dogs barking. They also leave large shoes outside of their house, so someone always thinks they're home. The wife gets even better. She's very paranoid, so in her car, so she doesn't ever have to be alone, she actually has a large stuffed, like, person. Yeah, so like a person dummy that's in her front seat that's always buckled up with her that has like a mask on his head and a wig. His name is, I believe his name is Jose. He goes everywhere with her. He's really nice. He's never done anything against me, but once when she was at work, she used to work at Shan's, she's a nurse, and one of her coworkers saw a man in her car and flipped out and called her and was like, oh my gosh, there's somebody in your car. You can't go to your car. You gotta call the police. So then her coworkers found out that she was a weirdo. Let's see. They once tried to steal my dad's dog because they wanted a dog to scare off intruders. They're overall very strange people, but very sweet. So that's Bonnie and Lee. If I come up with any other good stories about them, I'll let you know.
I just didn't want to go first. So, my last roommate, who lived with me for about 3 months, she is a self-proclaimed, self-defined traveling kid. She wasn't until after she left me, obviously, because she's from Florida. She moved here from Pensacola for school. She was living with me while she went to massage school. That should tell you something. After she graduated, she was hanging around, not doing much of anything. She's also a musician, did a lot of shows, gigs, whatever. You know, a very free-spirited person, which I myself have a tendency to be free-spirited, so no judgment. It's all good. One night, I went to sleep around 11 o'clock. I woke up. I don't wear clothes to bed. I walk out halfway to my living room, which is on the way to the bathroom, to take a shower, brush my teeth, those morning things. not wearing clothes. Excuse me. There were 8 men that I had never seen before scattered around my living room, on the floor, on the couch, with pillows, with blankets, all sleeping. Thankfully, they were sleeping. And my roommate wasn't anywhere to be found. I was like, so there's like 8 men in the living room. Do you have an explanation for this? And she says, oh yeah, I didn't think you would mind. It's a traveling band. They didn't have a place to stay, so I just invited them over. I hope that's okay. You were asleep. I didn't want to wake you. Oh, okay. So I go to work. So I'm like, okay, fine. There are naked people. I mean, I was naked. They were not. Maybe they were. I don't know. I didn't look that closely. So I left them sleeping. I got ready for work. I go to work, and I'm talking to my coworker, and I'm telling her the story. I said, I woke up and walked out, and there were like 8 men sleeping in my living room. And she's like, well, at least you didn't walk out naked. And I was like,
Thanks so much. I'm glad they were sleeping.
Hi, I'm Javed, and I'm a student at the Sequential Artist Workshop, SAW. And I've been here just for about 2 weeks, and I think I'll be here for about a year. Thanks. today is a kind of special day to tell the story, because from today, we are not roommates. he just dropped me off in the evening. it was kind of, anyway, it was an unexpected roommate situation for the last 2 weeks. Because, I mean, no amount of planning can bring together somebody who's 65 years old, a very practical man who mows lawns and paints houses and publishes a paper, and a 20-something student of funny pictures. it was meant to be just a 2-day or 3-day stay, but it ended up being like half a month. And as the days extended, it began to kind of get awkward. And I didn't know like how to make myself useful around the house. And so I started to wash the dishes. And I did that every day, but there was nothing else that I could do to really make myself useful, because this man had it all covered. I mean, he would do everything around the house, although he kind of lived alone, more or less. He'd do everything, so much so that one day he came to me and said, do you know that your bikes have no working brakes? And I'm like, can I find a bicycle shop around here? And he said, I fixed them. So coming from India, we had very few cultural references to American icons, and probably the only bearded American man who could do everything, because all the other superheroes never had beards, was Walker Texas Ranger. And, you know, in my mind, I used to sort of compare him to Texas Ranger, but I knew he would hold me with contempt, because this was a character he would probably dismiss as just being preposterous. because he was a practical man, and he was amazing. I mean, I really grew to like him and respect him in the 2 weeks that I lived with him, because, I mean, not only did he do a lot of things, he would do it with so much gusto. Like, he would wake up with the sun, go to work mowing lawns, painting buildings. In the evening, he would work on publishing papers and, you know, publishing his paper and sort of helping people out, holding discussions, etc., etc. And I think he also kind of grew to like me because he helped me move out. And as he kind of left me off at the new place, he also helped me buy a mattress. And he said, if you have any nightmares sleeping on it, feel free to return it. And so it was kind of slightly wistful to sort of see him say bye to me, but you know, I felt really honored to have spent 2 weeks with Joe Corta. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. If you squint your eyes and kind of look at him, he does look a little like Walker Texas Ranger, doesn't he? Maybe.
Hi. I'm Erica, and I'm going to tell you a story about my neighbor, Sal. I can always tell when Sal's coming to the house because I can hear his slippers shuffling in the driveway. He doesn't really get out of his pajamas. And when he gets to the door, sometimes it's the front door, sometimes it's the back door, he just kind of pounds on it. So sometimes it doesn't register that there's someone knocking because it's just like this vibration happening all over the house. And sometimes if he knocks on the door and like the music's too loud and we're vacuuming, he calls us. And he says, I'm knocking on your door. And we let him in. And I moved into the city unexpectedly. I lived in a really rural area where my closest neighbor lived in a house that I could walk into at any time. We didn't lock our doors. At night, I could hear coyotes and frogs and night jars. And when I moved into the city, I had trouble sleeping. I had light pollution. I could hear voices at night and car alarms. And the dog wouldn't settle down. She barked at everything. We were kind of shell-shocked to be in town after living in a place where I could see the Milky Way every night. And I wasn't really connecting with my new house and my neighborhood and being here. And so I decided to put in a garden. And I couldn't help but notice that my neighbor's entire backyard was a garden. He had taken spokes from a tire and built this enormous menagerie of wires and sculpture to support vines that would support these giant gourds that he brought by seed from India. And so when I started to install the garden, I noticed that my next door neighbor started to take notice. And I noticed that he was always in his yard gardening in his pajamas. And he'd always look over the fence and we'd kind of wave. And when I started to plant things, he wanted to see it. And so he came over and he introduced himself. And Sal's the kind of person who'll just grab your hand and read your palm. He'll insist you're born on a Wednesday, even if you're born on a Sunday. He will tell you, you know, that something needs to come out of your garden, just rip it out of the ground. But he also stops us in the street and brings us flowers and gives us special jasmine that he insists we keep by our bed, but not when there's men around. He brings us food all the time, and when I reciprocate with food, he always tells me it's really bland. But what I love most about Sal is that he made my house a home, and I'm eternally grateful for it. So, thanks.
Hi, I'm Satchel, the artist and pizza guy and co-founder of Lightning Salvage. Thanks for listening to the Grow Radio podcast of the Conk. This podcast is brought to you in part by Lightning Salvage. Lightning Salvage is actually the parent company for Satchel's Pizza. Satchel's opened in 2003, but Lightning Salvage was founded in 1989. Lots of people don't know that, but you know that. The spark is born at Lightning Salvage.
Hi, my name is Brett. I told my fiance I was telling a story. She turned to me. She's like, really? And so usually I don't do this, but I'm all about doing something that I'm not really comfortable doing. So here it goes. I'm actually from Miami, and I moved up here when I was 20, but this story takes place probably when I was like 12 years old. And growing up, just lived in the suburbs, Kendall area, not really nice, not really junky, just kind of Kendall. And I had this neighbor. Next to me is a rented house. Didn't know who owned it. It was always like a rental. Who was always renting it, obviously, from whoever owned it. And so I remember this this family, this father and his son. I don't know the father's name, but his son was named Jason. And we were, and obviously I had two older brothers. So so we came, every time we'd play baseball or toss the ball or football in the street. And it's weird, it's football in the street of Miami. We would invite him over, and we had no backstory of this guy. We just know that him and his dad would just rent this this house. Anyway, so I remember a couple nights after, I remember the cops showing up at that house, and in the middle of the night, and apparently they took Jason out of his dad's house. Because he was bleeding from the face, and his dad was a, found out from my mom, his dad was a drunk and beat him. And sure enough, a couple months later, he was back in that house. We would play again. We would, as if everything was normal again. And then one time he climbed up this really large tree. And this is like a three-story tree that was really not a climbable tree. It's not like a fun climbing tree. But he climbed this tree and couldn't get down. And so somebody called the cops. The fire people came and extended the large ladder, brought him down. And that was fine. He stayed at that house. And then more cops would come later, and he would be taken away, and he would come back, and my mom was talking to his father's girlfriend and just kind of talking, and found out that this dad was just really not a really good dad to Jason. But my brothers, we continued to play with them and everything until he it was a rented house, so people only stayed there for about a year, 2 years, until he moved away. Again, I was 12. We realized that Jason and his dad moved to other things. So about when I was 14, my mom was looking through the newspaper, and down by her house, there were a bunch of canals, and they found Jason drowned in the water. And I just think how fragile life is, and how the people around you are looking for a friend. I'm glad I got to know Jason and spend time with him. And I don't think anyone knows what happened, but I really enjoyed that year I got to spend with Jason. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brett.
I'm Kathy, and your story was so inspiring. All the stories tonight have pinged different things for me. This afternoon, I do this sometimes when I come to Conk, I see the topic and I think, I have nothing to talk about that topic. And then throughout the day, I start to think of things, and different situations in my life start coming up. And I think, maybe I'll talk about that, or maybe I'll get the courage to talk about that. And then I come and I hear all these different stories, and I start going through my own history, which is so fabulous, and like community internet radio could not be more appropriate for this event. I fucking love this community. And as I was sitting here tonight, this all sort of all these stories I've been thinking of today started evolving and coalesced into the fact that when Marco was talking about his family and his son, it never occurred to me that my family were my roommates. You know, and my neighbors have been teaching me all these lessons over the years. I was going to very specific stories. I was going to my time in South Boston where I lived in this tenement house that was almost turned into a commune, and I love these people, and I lived here, and my landlord lived here, and I ended up dating the man downstairs, and we all just were, you know, a family for this period of time. And I went to another roommate that when I was driving home, I could barely, you know, want to keep driving. I didn't want to go there, but, and you know, you don't want to tell that story. It's a bummer. And things that happen, but as everyone's telling these stories, I'm also reminded of how much I've learned through all of my roommates. And I tell this story and I tell it, you know, it's kind of a joke I tell, but it's very true and very profound, if I must say so, even though it's jokey, but it's true, is when one of the first times I lived after college by myself, I lived with my boyfriend at the time, and I had known him for years, but we had never lived together. We were in college, we were in dorms, we'd stay over each other's house. This was my first real roommate outside of college. Outside of dorm, I was responsible for paying my bills, I had a job, and we got this apartment together, and we went shopping, food shopping, for the first time I ever really food shopped with anyone. And I get home, and I start unwrapping all of the lunch meat, which is in, you know, you buy lunch meat at the deli, it's a clear plastic wrapper. And I start to unwrap it all, and I rewrap it all in tin foil, and I put it in the refrigerator. And he looks at me, and he says, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, that's what you do." He said, "Why?" I said, "So it doesn't go bad." And he really was looking at me. Was I putting him on? What the hell was I talking about? And I realized in that moment, that was what my parents taught. That was what my mom taught me. You had to, because he said, "Kathy, that makes no sense. You're taking it out of a clear bag so I can see what I bought. You're wrapping, you know, cheese, turkey, ham. You're taking it out of this and wrapping it in this opaque, you know, impenetrable, you know, I don't know. I have to go through everything." He's like, "Why would this store sell you something that would go bad in?" And I really had that instantaneous flash of, yeah, my parents do things a certain, my family has done things a certain way. That doesn't mean that's the only way. That doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't even mean it makes sense, which obviously that did not. And I honestly really struggled with it for a while. I was like, it's going to all go bad, you know? And there were other, I mean, it was a process. But what a revelation. And I've learned so many different lessons from roommates in those ways that you realize very much shaped the person I am, but from your original people, your parents that, you know, teach you some of these wonderful things and some of these little more bizarre things as well. So I'll share one more story, which I was going to be maybe too embarrassed to tell, but I love the story, so I'll tell it. Some of you know it who know me. When I moved to Florida, it was a little before the massive multi-television channel cable boom, and I was a poor college student, so I had, you know, plug-in television, and I had three channels. And I don't know what it is now, but when I moved here, Lawrence Welk was on, it seemed like 24/7. There was a Lawrence Welk show just running. But I actually grew up watching Lawrence Welk with my neighbor, actually that's a neighbor story, with my neighbor who is also, you know, I guess babysat me sometimes. And she would watch Lawrence Welk on a Saturday night. Maybe she would, you know, watch us. We would sit around in our pajamas because we were little. The neighborhood kids would go over and we'd sit in our pajamas and watch Lawrence Welk. And that was, it was really fun. It was good memories. And I was in the habit. I was in my 30s, mind you. 20, 30. And I would come home from work or school and I would put on my pajamas because I was, you know, before I went out at night, I'm like, oh, I'll just be comfortable, get my clothes, and I would be in my pajamas and I would watch Lawrence Welk at like 7 at night on a Friday night. This was my routine when I moved to Gainesville. I also didn't know a lot of people when I moved here. And I got a roommate. Hadn't had a roommate, and he was someone I didn't know and met through a friend. And the first Saturday night in the apartment, in the house, I'm sitting there in my pajamas watching Lawrence Welk. And he was a big dude. He was like 6, you know, 3, just imposing. And he just leaned out of the door, and leaned back in, didn't say anything. And a few minutes later, he walked out, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you watching Lawrence Welk in your pajamas at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night?" I said, yeah. So that's a little weird. I realize now this never struck me as odd before, but now I see that it's a little odd. So again, that's not bad, but it's your little idiosyncrasies that when you see yourself reflected through others is just good assessment. So I thank you.
Thanks, Kathy.
Hello. I was told my face is going to be blurred out and my voice is going to be like warbled, right? Because my roommates listen to Girl Radio, so it's too hot for this. My name is Alexander. I am from Zimbabwe. Thank you guys for having me tonight. Thank you, Girl, for doing this tonight. This is actually my first conk. I'm excited to do this. I'm going to tell a story about three roommates. I'm going to start with my least favorite. Yeah, I know. His name is Danny Boy. Danny, I used to like to call him. So in my country, when we build houses and apartments and whatnot, we use brick. Like, I'm sure Americans haven't heard of brick because you guys is drywall and, you know. So I used to live at Lexington Apartments. And Lexington Crossings apartments, and the walls are paper thin, paper thin. And Danny Boy, he used to like to have his girlfriend over all the time. And this is like the first time I'd lived with, you know, someone. I used to live with my brother when I came to Florida, and then I lived with Danny. And the first time his girlfriend was over, they disappear into his room. And this is the part of the movie where, if you guys watch movies, it fades to black, and then you see the morning after. But what they don't tell you is the guy who has to live in that house with the people where it faded to black, what he gets to go through. Very, very bad situation, anyways. I'm just going to tell you that. But she had a nasty habit also of, he didn't wear a shirt in the house, never wore a shirt. When we were chilling, watching baseball, we never wore a shirt. And she would pop the pimples on his back. Like, just, yeah, I know. Just nastiness, just mad nastiness. I was like, never been exposed to that ever in my life until Danny Boy. Thank you, Danny Boy. But I have to thank Danny because he introduced me to probably one of my better roommates. His name was Scott. Scott was a baseball player, and Danny Boy had to leave for the summer, so Scott subleased from him. And, you know, Scott was a good guy, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And now my most favorite roommate, this is now like number three now, was my first years in the United States were very broke. Like, ramen noodles was gourmet. That's how bad, like how broke we were. So it was me, my cousin Mto, and this Nigerian dude, David, or his Nigerian name was Ibuku. And this is about circa 2006. So if you remember, World Cup 2006 was a big time. And Ibukun used to work at IHOP, night shift, day into night shift. So he'd come home and watch the delayed games of all the World Cup, you know, that we had all seen. My cousin and I, we'd seen them all throughout the day. And he would be like, we lived in the second floor apartment. Again, American infrastructure is such that the walls are thin and everything is super loud. Second floor apartment, it'd be like, holy, Alex, come and see this. Did you see that? Oh, holy, I can't believe they're winning. Oh my, Alex, come and see the game. I'm like, dude, you know we've seen the game and we know the score at the end of this. But that's just how David was. I loved him because he was passionate about sports, passionate about the game. And if you ever tried to follow who he was actually rooting for in a match, you would be confused because he just rooted for the sport. The Patriots could be playing the Colts and he would be rooting for both teams. You know, in that whole Deflategate scandal, he'd be rooting for both teams also. So it's like, that's just who he was. But the three of us, my cousin, David, and myself, we're pretty a close-knit community of roommates. I think those were the best roommates I ever had because when we were starting out, it was rare for any of us to ever bring a young lady to the house, you know, very rare. So in those rare occasions that it happened, because it was so rare, whenever someone was bringing their date home or whatever, they would call the other two and be like, hey, I'm bringing my friend over. Can you, you know, make sure that the house is looking tip-top? So, and you know, three fellas living together, dishes pile up, you know, like, it's just insane. You can imagine the amount of dirt we can accumulate as guys. I couldn't even imagine that until I saw it, but... So I remember this one distinct time, my cousin calls me, he's like, I pick up the phone, I'm like sleeping, or he's like, Alex. I'm like, hey, what's up, man, what's going on? He's like, dude, yeah, you gotta make sure the house is looking, I'm finally bringing my friend over, you know, gotta make sure the house is looking good. I'm like, oh, crap, man, like, the dishes in the sink are piling up, and, you know, the living room looks horrible, and I'm like, okay. What can we can't wash these dishes in the next 5 minutes. So the wisest thing we thought of doing was, okay, we're just going to take all the dishes from the sink. We're going to put them in the tub. Close. And hopefully no one needs to take a shower in the night. It worked that one time, and we used it every time after that. It was just, we just always found ways of justifying not doing dishes, but... Those guys ended up being like my brothers. I love those guys, and thank you for giving me the time. Cheers.
Thank you, Alexander.
Hey, I'm Joe. I didn't expect to be here. I thought I would be at a Civic Media Center board meeting, but people didn't come, so here I am. Kind of unprepared, but I'm going to wing it anyway. Roommates, I first moved to Gainesville in 1975, and the first place I moved into was down on Kincaid Road. And my roommate there, well, before I was ever a roommate, I answered an ad in the paper and went to their house, and this young guy greeted me. He was a student at UF. And the first thing he said is, one thing you have to understand, if you're going to live here, he goes, I'm a vegetarian. I'm a really strict vegetarian. I'm a vegetarian. You can't have any meat or fish in the house at all. I don't want it touching my plates or my silverware or anything. He kind of merged his kosher upbringing with militant vegetarianism. So I was like, okay. So he said, come on, we can go. I'll show you out in back. There's a nice walk we can take. So I'm walking out the back door, this little duplex, and here's this great woods and a nice path going down an open field. But if any of you have been out to Flamingo Hammock, this is before people, the current crop of people are at Flamingo Hammock. So I'm thinking, I can put up with this. I can put up with this to live out here. I wasn't a vegetarian myself, but I could deal with it. This guy was really interesting because I'd never been around somebody quite so fanatical about vegetarianism. At one point, I was sitting on the couch on a phone call, and I was watching how he had a routine. He'd always make his egg rolls. He took up his egg rolls in the toaster oven. He lived on those things. He'd get them from Mother Earth. And I'm on the phone talking, and he's doing his food prep, and I watch him eat, and I was putting things away, and all of a sudden I hear, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. I'm like, what? He goes, it were shrimp rolls. He had bought shrimp rolls by mistake. He was absolutely horrified. But he couldn't even tell the taste was any different. So, you know, I just kind of got along with Howie. But the other aspect of Howie that was really important was he was a music major, and he was really into jazz. He grew up in New York City, went to clubs. He took a look in my record collection, which was predominantly rock and folk rock, and he said, I got to make some tapes for you. So from him, I got tapes of McCoy Tyner, John Coltrane, Rahsaan Roland Kirk, Miles Davis. And my musical knowledge expanded. He just said, even if you don't like him, just listen to him, just listen to him. And the other great thing he really gave me was, I went up to see him in New York City one time, and he took me to a concert, a jazz concert. It happened to be a tribute concert to Billy Taylor. And there was about 10 or 15 jazz musicians participating. And that's when I got to understand jazz, was watching high-level jazz players play off of one another. And it really gained me an understanding. So for all his wacko vegetarianism, I mean, I even got busted for eating a fish in the house when I knew he was away. His neighbor happened to stop over. I had some friends over. I had caught this damn fish, and I was going to eat it. But his friend came in and he just went, I'm telling. Oh, shit, yeah. So I had to wash the silverware real good. Anyway, that was Howie. But I got to tell another story about the same house. And I was going to try to figure out how to stretch Howie into one story, but there really wasn't that much of it. So I had a roommate I met named Kathy. I met her with an ad that I ran in the Gainesville Sun when I was looking for a roommate. And I can't remember the exact wording of the ad, but it was something like, roommate wanted, rustic house not far from town, no TV addicts or junk food junkies, atheist preferred. I just laid it out, you know? And I did calls. I had a few calls. Well, I got this call from this woman. She wanted to come by, and she came walking in, and she goes, oh, let's see, this your dog? I said, yeah. Goes, oh, that's good. I think he'll get along with my dog. Oh, you got Beatles pictures up. That's very good. You like Jackson Brown? I said, yeah. She goes, okay, great, great. That'll work. So she moved in, and we had a fantastic friendship. We just philosophically, environmental issues, this and that. Now, the situation of her moving in was she had been living with a guy that she'd been with for about 4 or 5 years, I think. I don't know. It may have been even longer. And he wouldn't give her a commitment on getting involved, getting married, or anything. And finally, at one point, she kind of laid it out to him. And he says, well, if you don't think you can move out. So that's when she looked in the paper, and that's when she found my ad. Well, Tim was his name, and he'd come by, and he was pretty, uptight about the situation because Kathy and I were good friends. We're platonic, but good friends. We agreed on a lot of stuff. And one of the first times we sat in this house, we were talking with Tim, and usually when we talk, in this conversation we'd already been having, Kathy and I would agree, and he would disagree. And he was a philosophy professor at Lake City Community College, and we were talking like life philosophy, deep stuff. Well, I'm sitting there in the house, and I saw a palmetto bug up on the wall just walking across. You know how they do. They just, they didn't care if the light was on. It was a tourist. It was checking things out. So I'm sitting there. There's Kathy, and there's me, and there's Tim. And I watched this bug, and it took off. And landed on Tim's forehead. And we both just cracked up, and he was horrified. And that about to set the tone of the relationship. She dumped him. She married a guy out in Colorado. They've moved back to town. They've raised kids, a family. I have no idea where he ended up. But that cockroach was wonderful.
Thank you, Joe. There's a really beautiful story told about you before you got here, so you'll have to check it out on growradio.org when it's posted later this week. It was wonderful.
Thanks for checking out the Conk Podcast. As always, we thank our sponsor, Satchel's Pizza, for allowing us to host the event at Light and Salvage every month. The next Conk will be October 6th, and the theme will be the Internet. We want to remind you, you can find out more about the Conk on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/theconkgnv. You can also check out past Conk podcasts at www.growradio.org. We hope to see you at upcoming Conk events in Gainesville.